You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The government recently announced a new fund of $30 million towards biodiversity and tourism infrastructure projects. The $19 million in this fund going towards biodiversity funding would be invested in stopping the spread of wallabies and managing pest populations in national parks, targeted predator control to protect native bird species, and wilding pine removal. Just before this announcement, members of Destiny Church held disruptions at multiple pride events over the weekend, including one at Te Atatū Library in West Auckland, which resulted in a number of library staff and bystanders getting injured in the confrontation. Additionally, a deportation notice was given to Taman Kumar, an 18-year-old of Indian origin who was born and raised in Aotearoa, telling him to leave the country and migrate to India by Monday this week. For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March, I discussed all of these recent events with him for the Green Party's take on the issue. Is the Tourism and Biodiversity Fund sufficient enough for conservation efforts?
Absolutely not. And when we think about the massive cuts that the Department of Conservation has faced, and we have seen cuts to initiatives that help protect biodiversity, this is a drop in the bucket. It's ironic to have a Prime Minister who complains about bumper stickers to then basically do a bumper sticker announcement. This will do very little to protect biodiversity in the scheme of all the other cuts that we have seen on projects that try to do the same.
What would be an adequate amount of funding for the Department of Conservation to manage Aotearoa's landscapes?
Well, definitely at least the amount that was there before the cuts were made. But again, you know, if we put it into context, the government was willing to give $3 billion to landlords. And so when you put this to the, you know, just a few dozen million, it's very, very tiny. And when we also think about the fact that they're not really investing on things like ending child poverty, it really shows that this government isn't actually about the things that they say they are. They're about cuts, they're about austerity, and they're about simply supporting the industry that their wealthy mates give donations to.
This funding announcement also comes alongside a $500,000 ad campaign aimed at attracting Australian tourists during the off-peak shoulder season, titled Everyone Must Go. Does Aotearoa have the adequate infrastructure to support an influx of tourists looking to visit our natural landscapes at the moment?
Well, the thing is, we do need to better invest in public infrastructure that will support any projected growth in tourism. But I also think it's, again, like, these are all gimmick announcements, right? Having some sort of marketing campaign saying everyone must go, that has already been panned a lot by the community on social media, but B, actually ignores the fact that if we want to have a high-value, sustainable tourism industry, actually we need to invest in the adequate infrastructure to sustain the natural environments that makes us an attractive destination to visit. If we have a government that is literally bulldozing the environment, they're putting at risk the very same thing that attracts tourists to this country in the first place.
Right, and what kind of infrastructural developments would be needed to support our tourism industry and simultaneously protect our natural landscapes?
Well, for example, like better maintenance of our dock walks, public toilets, rubbish facilities, and you know, good quality huts and waste management are all things that help us protect our biodiversity. At the same time, what we also need to do is to not open up coal mines and pristine natural environments that put not only our native species at risk, but our reputation as a clean, green country that people can visit.
All right, moving on to the next topic. A number of Pride events over the weekend were interrupted by protests from members of Destiny Church and Brian Tamaki's Man Up program. Two of these events included the Rainbow Parade on Ponsonby Road and a Drag King Storytime reading at Te Atatū Library in West Auckland, where a number of staff and bystanders, including children, were assaulted and concussed during the commotion. So I'd like to ask, what was your reaction to seeing these protests and appearances by Destiny Church over the weekend?
It really shows this is why we need Pride, right? Pride is a protest and Pride should be an act of resistance. It should not be about corporations parading. We have faced hate and violence over many, many, many decades. This is yet another chapter and the resistance we need to have to, at the moment, what feels like growing violence towards our communities. Destiny Church is just one of those groups. It's unacceptable and it puts our communities at risk. But more importantly, the question is what we need to do next. And that needs to involve a series of actions by government, but also as a community.
Could you possibly go into these actions by government and the community and how the community and government should respond to future incidents like the ones we saw over the weekend?
Well, for one, the government could stop referring or ensure that actually no organization funded by government is referring people to the Man Up programs, particularly since they promote violence against many of our communities. Secondly, ensuring that Destiny Church does not have its charitable status is another thing that we can get behind that has been called by the community. And we want to make it to organizations like People Against Prisons Aotearoa who are organizing actions on the ground as well to rally what resistance to this kind of violence can look like. Because obviously we can't passively stand by and assume that the entities that have failed to protect us will somehow step up.
Do you think that the frequency and intensity of these kinds of incidents has been increasing in recent months?
While we have made progress in some areas when it comes to the rights of our queer communities, the truth is that with the resurgence of the far right, that has also led to an increased violent rhetoric when it comes to our queer people. What happened in West Auckland this last week is an example of that. And the thing is, this has flow-on effects on governments then caving to those very same groups, as we have seen in other countries, and restricting the ability for trans people to participate in sports, restricting access to gender-affirming healthcare. And those things actually put lives at risk. And this is why we can't allow those groups to take an inch, because if they do, politicians, at least the ones on the right, will take a mile.
All right, moving on to the last topic. 18-year-old New Zealand-born Daman Kumar was given a notice by Immigration New Zealand to leave the country by Monday this week or face deportation to India. Despite having been born and raised in Aotearoa, Kumar is considered to be an illegal resident as he was born after the then Labour government revoked a law granting citizenship to those who were born in Aotearoa. While Kumar's case has been put on hold and is being reconsidered by Associate Immigration Minister Chris Penk, the likelihood of Kumar facing deportation is still quite high. So I'd like to ask, what is your reaction and thoughts on Kumar's case?
Yeah, I've been working with Daman Kumar since before the story hit the media to start putting together a letter to the minister that now sits with him for consideration. And we hope that the minister intervenes. But the truth is that there are countless of other people like him who are simply falling through the cracks because of an immigration system that does not treat people with respect and dignity. And so what we're pushing for here is for Daman to be granted residency alongside his parents, so the government stops turning its back to the reality that they actually don't even know how many people like Daman exist in this country, and that they take proactive steps to ensure that they're not living in the shadows, which makes them more prone to exploitation and prevents them from accessing things like health services, which is particularly dangerous when we have, for example, a pandemic.
So as you just mentioned, it's estimated that almost 14,000 other people like Kumar are considered as unlawful residents in Aotearoa despite being born here. Is this figure worrying?
Well, what it says is that we have a cohort of people who are having to live in the shadows. And we know that people who don't have a valid visa are actually far more at risk of exploitation. The right answer here would be to actually grant an amnesty for overstayers. This is something we have been campaigning on for many, many, many years. And through our campaigning and pressure alongside other community groups, we got the Labour Party very late to the game to announce that they would also be open to that idea. And this will ensure that we support all of the communities who have been pushed into the shadows. And then we can have a conversation about why is our immigration system creating the conditions for so many people to fall through the gaps in the very first place.
Should people who were born in Aotearoa be given automatic citizenship?
Yeah, we support best right citizenship. This was a change from a previous Labour government that I don't support. And that's something that should be reversed. But I think the conversation also needs to be broader than that. It needs to be about the treatment that we give to people who have fallen through the cracks because of a failed immigration system that, for example, will allow millionaires to come in with basically no questions asked when it comes to, for example, even English language requirements, but yet will put massive amounts of barriers for the people that are helping us build homes to fix the housing crisis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.